Chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come together to praise and honor thy holy name on this Sabbath day. And we just pray, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us today. Pour out the Spirit upon us, Father, so that we may be in harmony with thee and that we can work with thee, Father, and for thee. That we ask that we truly be out, and our desire is to be the helpmate that you have asked us to be your ambassador upon this earth, to give the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. A little while back, a few Sabbaths ago, I talked and spoke on Jesus' habits of private prayer that he had with his Father. And I'm going to stay with that theme today of prayer. Time of prayer that in his promises that he teaches us. And how the relationship to God that we can get through these promises and through these prayers that we have. We know that first we have to have a relationship with God. And that's before any dialogue or any business can be transacted with him. And then we need to have skill to be able to go out as a person representing the Lord Jesus Christ. For working for Jesus. We need to have that relationship. We know that the basis of prayer is acquired and is the relationship that we have with God. Prayer is representing God in this here world, and each one of us has that opportunity to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's showing his right down here on this earth. He wants to use every one of us. He doesn't want to leave any one of us out. So he gives us all the tools that we need to be able to do that. We know that clearly that the relationship with God is only through Jesus Christ and him alone. Man was once in touch with God. Man broke from God. And it could not be repaired. That breach could not be repaired. So God sent Jesus, his son, here to be able to prepare that breach. And the only way back to God and to the position that we started with, he started with Adam and Eve, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we know that the blood of the cross is the basis of all prayer. Without that blood, we could do nothing. We know that that relationship that we need with God, that blood established and underlies all prayer that we have with him. And we know, as I said, that that breach can only be repaired through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to keep in sympathy with Jesus in the person and for the purpose that the life can bring to us. And we have a need to practice that purpose that God has given to each and every one of us. And as we look at these, there's six sweeping statements, there's really eight that Jesus gave, promises of prayer. In his own words makes it very clear that the teaching of prayer that Jesus spoke in that 3.5 years, most of them were during the latter part of the second year of his ministry. And the first group of that was the Sermon on the Mount. Now, many people may not think that's a promise of prayer, but it is very much a promise of prayer. And then the second group comes at the end of his ministry. All of it in the last 6 months of his ministry. Most of it in the last 10 days, and even most of that on the very night of the tragedy. We know that this series of statements is made after the sharp break with the leaders, the Israelite leaders, Jewish leaders. We know that the utterances of Jesus are the most positive words that we can hear on prayer. And so let's look at six of the statements that he made and to go with the topic of today, with the promises of God, of Christ, and the how of relationship in prayer. And the first one we can look at is Matthew 18. If you would turn to there, if you would like to. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. In verse 19, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. And we look at the place of prayer in this verse, on earth. And that is where it is, prayer on earth. And the sweep of it, anything. And the positiveness of it, it shall be done. These are promises that Christ has given to each and every one of his children. And then the reason is given in verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this is saying that if there are two praying, that there are three. That if three meet together, there are four praying. At any time that we pray, there is always one more than what we can see. And even with the prayers, we come to it and think of our own lives. Maybe we're thinking about possible dejection because maybe we're not as good as we think. Maybe God will not hear it. I'm so sinful. I'm so weak. But it is told that we are wrong in thinking that and even saying it. But if we do that, we can always fall back on this. The Father always hears Jesus. And when we pray in earnest, Jesus is taking our prayer and making it his own prayer to the Father. And then we can go to Mark chapter 11. Verses 20 through 24. Mark 11. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. We need to double line that word God. You know, so we see that the chief factor in prayer is God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Jesus picked out the most unlikeliest thing. It never did occur. We never hear of Jesus moving a mountain into the sea. Maybe the need for that action never arose. But he chose a thing that's most difficult to understand. Imagine a mountain moving off into the sea. Or even just a mountain moving. Have we ever prayed that, hoping that it would happen? Especially the mountain that we may have in our lives that are keeping us from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that mountain can be moved if we truly believe in it. And we ask God to move that mountain. But we know that these things will happen when Jesus comes at his second coming. And as we continue there, and shall not doubt in his heart. That's Jesus' definition of faith. And then as we look at the rest of verse 23 and 24, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, what ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Do you believe that? Do we really believe that? And as we look at that sweeping last statement there, it's made more positive as we look at it and see where it's preceded by, therefore, I say unto you, both whatsoever and whosoever are there, anything and anybody. And these statements probably need guarding, and we try to put our fences up around them, but we know that the Master has his own fence to put up. And then we can look at the other four statements, and they're in John's Gospel. And it's in that last quiet talk that he had with his disciples the night that he was betrayed. And we see most of these heartfelt talks that Jesus had with the disciples in chapters 13 through 17 of John. We can go there to chapter 14, John chapter 14. Verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You hear that? Will I do? Twice there. That repetition there, the emphasis is put on there. The unlimited sweep of whatever we may ask. Because we know that we can ask anything of Jesus, and he will give it to us. Maybe not the way that we ask or what we want, but God will fulfill all of our promises. And then John 15:7. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. We see that word abide, and it's a strong word. It means to remain. It means moving in to stay. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to move into our hearts to stay. The Holy Spirit wants to move into our hearts to stay forever. And they'll only leave if we ask them to. Ye ask what ye will. Jesus is saying, ask. Please ask. And I will do what you ask of me. And it has meaning. God's will. It's not saying something about God's will. It's saying something about our will. And it shall be done unto you. Or we can make it more meaningful. I will bring it to pass for you. Or if you abide in me and my words sway you, you please ask what it is your will to ask. Christ is asking us to ask for what we want, what we desire. Lord, I pray that those desires are that we want to be with him. We want to do what is right. We want to follow the commandments of God. And that we want to be his children and one day soon to be with him in eternity. And Jesus' reply to that, I will lay myself out to bring that thing to pass for you. What assurance we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is grasp a hold of them and take them, put them into our hearts, into our minds, into our very lives, so that we can be like Jesus. And if we go to the 16th verse there of chapter 15, read that, the 16th verse. If ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Another assurance from Jesus, knowing that his words are true. God has already made a prayer partnership with us if we choose to follow Christ's promises that he has given to us. So we know that. And then in John 16, chapter 16, we can go to verses 23 and 24. And I want to start with the second clause of verse 23. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be filled. How many of us have received what we have asked for? How many of us have received what we have asked for in the way that we've asked it? We know that that may not happen very often. But if we ask in the name of Jesus, God will grant that unto us. And these are some of the most sweeping statements that can be found in Scripture regarding prayer, especially given by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no limitation to who can ask or the kind of thing that we can ask for. But there are three limitations that are imposed upon us. Number one, the prayer has to be through Jesus. The person praying has to have the fullest sympathy with Jesus. And a person has to have faith for your prayers to work. And as we looked and reread these statements, we have to notice one fact about them. These words are not spoken to the crowd. They are spoken to that small inner group of disciples that was with Jesus. Jesus talks to the multitude in one way, and most often he talks another way to the men that are in his inner circle. But then we can also see other words that Joseph spoke to the disciples just before these statements. These words always fixes a relationship with Jesus, and the relationship that the disciples had with him that we can have with Jesus today, even though we can't see him. We can have that relationship, knowing that he's living within our hearts. We have to look at the settings of these promises and keep them in mind. The sharp break with the national leaders had come. Jesus was charged with satanic collusion. The death plot is determined. And then that breach that was with the leaders can never be repaired. The master is frequently slipping away to be with these 12 men, seeking to teach them and to train them. And God wants to teach us, each one of us, wants to train us to be workers for him. I pray that we accept that response that God has given to us. But even before Jesus gives himself away to these 12 men, he says something else. And I mentioned it this morning in Sabbath school. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. More sweeping words that we can hear. Verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to take that verse apart and look at each statement there and to see what it says and what it means to each one of us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And these words are not for everybody. They're only meant for the ones that will square their lives by these razor-sharp words of Jesus. If any man would come after me, a rock-solid purpose he wants, tying oneself to Christ that can never be undone, only by our own choosing. Come after me. On the side, all the power of Jesus' life. On the other side, the wilderness, the intense temptation that comes to each and every one of us. It may mean different things to each of us. But everybody that comes after Jesus will at some time in their life have a Gethsemane experience. But it never will mean that much to us as it does to Jesus. But we can also have a Calvary experience in our lives. Each one of us may come to have a loving relationship with God. And we can claim without reservation these precious promises that Christ has given here, gave to his disciples, and he's given to us today. And it is an easy one for anyone that is willing. There's nothing hard in this. Because the presence of Jesus Christ in each one of our lives covers all things. Any one of us has to do is abide in these words. He may ask what he wills to ask, and it will come to pass. Because God is trustworthy. Jesus is trustworthy. Probably many of the reasons why many people don't have power in prayer is simply because they are unwilling to bear their souls to Jesus. To these sharp words that Jesus gave here. But that word always comes up, but. If one will quietly and absolutely follow the Master's hearing and his leading, and it's not extreme. It's nothing out of the ordinary. Just a quiet following where that inner voice that we hear plainly leads us day by day. That person will be able to find what a new meaning prayer will have for them. And it will. These prayers will have a new meaning for us every day. But there is a controlling purpose with these. The relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer has that purpose, and it is to please Jesus. That's what we need to know every day, to please Jesus. The controlling factor or purpose in prayer is to please Jesus. And the true basis of prayer is sympathy. Oneness of purpose. And prayer is not extracting reluctantly favors from God. And there are many things in life that are mandatory that we know that we have to do. But the roots of prayer is in oneness in prayer. Oneness of purpose. We see God sitting on his throne. And the redeeming Savior sitting by his side. And then we see man down here in this world. We can see that given that sympathetic touch so that God will his thoughts into each one of our minds. And then God's desires are repeated on earth by us through prayer. And that is what God wants us to do. To repeat his words to the world so that they may have the opportunity to give their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that time is almost over. Each one of us needs to be ready. Each one of us needs to be doing the work that God has given to each of us. And we can only reach that goal through constant and daily prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ. In those few words of Christ here upon this earth, has never ceased humanity to wander out all over them. We know that humanity has only gotten a glimpse of Jesus' private life here on this earth with the Father. His saying, I do always the things that are pleasing to Him. And also His words in John's Apostle, we can pick out the negatives, the nots. Not my will, not my works, not my words. Jesus came to do the Father's will. We can see that controlling purpose of His life was to please His Father. And that should be the controlling purpose in our life, is to please the Father, to please the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret of power for Lord Jesus Christ on His earthly life here was a right relationship to God, a secret, intimate prayer life, and a marvelous power over men and women. We can have that right relationship. We can have that secret, intimate prayer in our lives. And I suppose we can have that marvelous power over men and women if we truly have the words that God wants us to have, and that we are really out there living the life that we need to do to help others to join us on the sea of glass that one day all will be there of God's children. And as we look at that, the last one is John chapter 2. If you turn to John chapter 2. Verses 23 and 24. All these are words that we've read over and over again. These promises, we can get something new out of them every day. Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men. Two words there. Believed and commit. Could be read, many trusted Him, beholding what He did. But He did not trust them, for He knew them. I hope that all of us are trusting God today. But does He trust each one of us? What is our purpose in life? To please Him. And if we do that, He knows it. God judges a person not by the achievements, but by His purpose, what He sees in each one of us. And God wills all the power into man that He can see holy for Him. And as a man proves himself over and over again, until he becomes what God wants him to be. If we have that right relationship with Jesus, that will happen to us, each one of us. It will be the controlling purpose and desire of our lives to do the things that please Him. Ask what I will, and it shall be done. What promises that God has for us. And if we follow those words in Matthew 16:24, follow Jesus as He leads us day by day, we know that these six promises of Jesus are for us to see as we will. The basis of prayer, a right relationship with God. The chief factor in prayer is God. And the true basis of prayer is sympathy and oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that that is your desire also, to have that oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gracious Heavenly Father, glory be to Him whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to Him from generation to generation in a church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we just pray that we are be workers for Thee. We know the end is drawing to a close. You know, we have to get out there to give the gospel message. And we just pray, Father, that day by day we draw upon the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. draw upon the promises through prayer that each one of us may have, that we are children of the living God, giving us the assurance of eternal life. So we pray that we will go on from this place on fire for Jesus and for you, Father, and that one day soon we will be with him to spend eternity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.